singing glory and honor and praise. We pray that his family would understand the ultimate peace that only you can give. The worldly peace is removed and the divine peace is given to Frank's family, Rita, those three boys, those grandchildren, and everyone gathered there today, Jesus, precious Jesus. There's something about the name of Almighty God who is, who was, and is to come. You said, I am that I am. All that is, all that was created, and all that is to be comes from your mouth and from your creative power. Now, precious Lord, continue with us in the power of praise and the power of your presence. We give you honor and glory and power and praise, and they're all yours alone forever. In Jesus' name, the people said, amen, amen. Ushers, continue, if you would, to serve us in a time of offering and giving back to the Lord what's already his. Also wanted to, I'm sorry that I'm up here so much this morning, but just the way it had to be. Some of our other leaders weren't able to lead today in worship. But I tell you what, it was joyful for me to be able to lead worship today. Praise the Lord for that. The young people, they put up with me, but I pray that the Lord was honored and glorified. The young adult, they were going to have a picnic today. They've decided otherwise because of the interesting look of the outside clouds. So young adults, you'll hear about their your together picnic later. I think Michelle will reschedule and you'll hear from her as we thank the Lord for that. You know, I'm excited about the church. Are you? The Church of Jesus Christ? Are you excited about what's going on? Do you watch the news too much? Stop it. Some of you had to check your eye whatever as you walked into worship just to make sure one of the newsmen didn't have something else to say. You understand who the greatest anchor man of all time is, right? Do you know who holds your anchor? His name is Jesus Christ. Hold on to that anchor. You won't need any other earthly anchor. People, I'm going to switch mics here so I can use my hands, okay? Speaking of whatevers, I have an iPhone and iPad. I don't know how Apple got the corner on the letter I, but they sure did, didn't they? I want an iWatch. How many of you want an iWatch? Any of you know what an iWatch is? Okay, some of you are shaking your head. I love the description on those ads. I mean, I just think that it was a beautiful ad campaign on the iWatch. It's just so much fun. So if you get the iWatch, then you can have my wife and Harvey always say that I'm always doing this during worship, so I'm putting this down so I don't do that. I do it all the time. Harvey says I do it anyway, even if it's not there. I mean, we can get so trapped in what the earthly world gives us. I mean, we could just be enveloped and you know, just, I think, inundated and absorbed and, oh, man, overwhelmed by technology or whatever it may be. You just soak it up. You can be so distracted. We can get so distracted. By the way, if you have little children, make sure they get back to the children's program. It's an incredible program we have going for children. Little Gilead. Took us a long time to come up with that name, Little Gilead. I love it, though. I love the logo.
We'll talk more to that here in a second. But you can become so inundated and overwhelmed with the world's distractions, can't we? So, you know, if I have the iWatch, if I get one, which, you know, I can't afford it, but if I ever do, then it's a hint to my family for Christmas there. And so if I would ever have one, I could have my phone here, my iPad there, and my watch there, and just see what we could do with all three, you know. Just see if you can get the same movie going on, you know, a little clip of Billy Graham or something all at the same time and all three and see what it does. You know, we praise God for people like Billy and Franklin and the leaders, Christian leaders of our world. It's a place in which we live that we need the influence of those who have influence. I'll never forget, at one point, we were pretty, as a denomination, it's lovely to have Wayne's family here. You'll hear from him in a little bit. As a denomination, we were pretty upset with Disney at one point. And everybody wanted to pick it. Everybody wanted to, you know, get angry and, you know, stand in front of the gates at Disney and stuff like that. And Dr. John, with Wayne's help and assistance at that particular time, said, why don't we just write a loving letter and express our concern? And he was able to do that many times. And that's Wayne's approach. That's the Church of Jesus Christ approach. I believe it's right to build relationship. To build a relationship so you can be heard. To show the love of Christ and that in order that we may be able to have an audience of discipleship. Why would we? Now, there are times, I get that. There are times that we have to take a stand, and it's a hard stand. But why not be our first foot forward to pull someone in? You know, that's why I'm so excited about Gilead Friends Church. That is our character. And it's because, and only because, it's the character of Jesus Christ. Now, you and I know we're in a series, The Gospel-Centered Life. And I also left my book up in that classroom. JJ, sorry. We had such a good time in class, and I had to get down to lead worship life. I left everything there. This emphasis, which most of you have a book. How many brought your book with you this morning, The Gospel-Centered Life? Okay. We're in session two already, and I want you to use it. It's so simple. It's such an easy read. It only takes you a few minutes. And then throughout the week, you can absorb the scriptures and let it sink in and just continue to let God speak to you about the gospel-centered life. You know, and I know it's when we talk about a title of a series like that, your first reaction is, but that's all we ever talk about. Amen. Hallelujah. This is truth, and let the amen be spoken by Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to, as we talked about why we read the Bible, and today it's while we read. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? While we read the Word, while we read the Bible. It indicates and denotes action. While you read the Bible. So, are you already convicted? I mean, I am. As soon as I read that title, I was convicted a little bit in the right Holy Spirit way. Because it indicates that this is what you're doing. It's just like when we, years ago, when we took a look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and it said, you know, go into all the world, and we realized that the Greek order of that phrase was, as you're going. While you are going, preach the gospel and make disciples. It is expected that that's what you're doing. It's expected because God loves you, because he loved you first, because he revealed to you himself. He spoke to you both through his creation generally and then specifically through his word. He's just assuming. God doesn't really assume. But his expectation is that while you're reading his word, man, you're handsome. I believe it my life goal to embarrass my boys as much as possible. Not really. I'm blessed so much by them. Wow, am I blessed by them. And their incredible mother. You know, in our house when it's Mother's Day, it's like you better get her something or you're dead. I mean, it's just different than when you have girls, you know. And so now the in-law girls are bringing the flowers, you know, and making sure their husbands do the right thing. It's pretty neat. Don't you just revel in the way God created you, male and female? I mean, you should. If you don't, something's wrong. So you should revel in that. The character of Jesus Christ revealed in our women, our moms, our ladies, is powerful completion of the Godhead. I know, that was last week's sermon. While you read the Word, I want you to hear God's Word to us today. The lens with which you read the Word is revealed in three things by God Himself. Okay, so wasn't too long ago that we, I guess it was a long time ago. We went to Ohio Caverns. And they do this on purpose. They take you way down in the ground before they turn on any lighting, right? Unless they're not allowed to do that anymore. Maybe they only did it to me. They take you way down in the depths of the earth, and you can't see anything. I mean, you literally cannot see your hand in front of you. And the whole idea is that as soon as they hit that electricity and all those perfectly, in most ways, perfectly, it's old, you know that. But those lights, all of a sudden, they brilliantly, but yet subdued, light up the stalactites and stalagmites. Amen? And you are in awe and wonder, but before that, the lens of your eye couldn't see anything. God created you magnificently, beautifully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. And you couldn't see anything until there was light shown on it. The lens of your eyes could not see without the illumination of light. When we read the Bible, we first must read the Bible in light of the Bible. Well, that sounds circular. Yeah. Can you identify some places? And I'm really wanting to be a coach today more than a, you know, preacher person. Can you identify some places in the Word just right now? I mean, they're just popping in your head where Jesus spoke, and what he was doing really was repeating an Old Testament verse to answer a question of a Pharisee or a disciple. Remember? Is your mind going to those? Maybe I should share one with you. Should I share one so we get the idea? In your lesson, if you have your books different than mine, and that's okay. But I'll take you to Matthew 5, 38 to 42, okay? And there used to be water in that bottle. In Matthew 5, 38 to 42, Jesus, you know, he's speaking here and giving perspective to questioning. If you're there, that would be good. We have more than one text today, so just know that we'll be hitting three of them today. Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, this is verse 38, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak. In other words, your inner and your outer garment. If you need your shirt, let him have your shirt. If you need your shoes, give him your shoes. And if anyone forces you to go a mile, go two. I mean, love people. Minister to their need. Give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Of course, this is addressing legalism, of course, but Jesus uses the old context. He interprets the Bible with the Bible in the lens, in the aspect ratio, the aperture of his word, which is gospel, is truth. He does it so often in context with the truth of the old. the Mosaic Law, the Torah. Great. Rick just went through not too long ago, a class, his Sunday school class, as they studied the Torah and the law. It was powerful to see the completion in Jesus Christ. So as we read the Word, the first point is to read it in light of the Bible. The Bible adds light. It shines light. It reflects light. It gives light to itself. That's such a powerful thought. When you read these verses, and let me give you another one. Actually, we talked about in Sunday school class, and it just cemented this fact. We were talking about when Jesus responded to the Pharisees about when they were questioning him, trying to trap him, what is the greatest of the law, right? What's the greatest commandment? You remember this, correct? What is the greatest commandment? Which of the ten did he say? Right, he didn't say any of the ten, did he? Well, kind of, because he summed it up, right? Do you know the context of why he responded that way? As he was creating Word in light of the Word. Patty, was it Deuteronomy 6 that we did in Sunday school? 5, thank you. 6-5. He knew that the Pharisees already knew the answer to the question. They just wanted to trap him. When Jesus responded, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, he was repeating Deuteronomy. You know, as we, if you want to look Deuteronomy 6-5, is that right? 6-5. You might want to look at that. Have you ever seen that before? Have you ever realized that? Jesus speaking Word inside of Word in context with the Word, reflecting light with light. Now, obviously, many things he spoke were new words, new light, you know, that we have now recorded in the New Testament for our blessing and benefit. But this morning, I wanted you to hear that. You know why I'm so excited about Gilead Friends Church and all of you? Gilead Friends Church is focusing on the gospel, the Word of God, Christ crucified, risen, and coming again, and nothing else. Because everything else is found within that. Just like Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor yourself. All the law is found inside it. And so why I'm so excited about Gilead Friends, my family, you, is because that's exactly the character of Gilead Friends Church. We interpret everything we do. We interpret our mission, our goals as a church, as a church family, our Christian school. And just as a side light on that, we have the best budget we've ever had for next year, already ready to go. Yeah, that's worthy of applause. We have the highest enrollment that we've ever had. And we've continued that 3 years running, Gilead Christian School. And this will be the fourth. 4 years in a row, increased enrollment, better budgets. And this budget is miraculous. Okay. The Christian school interprets their curriculum by the Word. The Word is truth and useful for all teaching, instruction, and reproof, right? When we teach at Gilead Christian School or in our Sunday school or in our worship services or on Wednesday night when Todd presents a Bible study, it's all interpreting Word in light of the Word. So that's the first lens we need to look at. The second lens of interpreting Scripture while you are reading it. Don't forget that. While you read, the second lens would be that you read, while you read Scripture, you read it in light of Christ. Well, that sounds pretty simple. But I think we can easily get distracted if we start pulling verses out for our own benefit. One that it comes to mind, the coffee cup verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we're not cautious, we begin to emphasize the I can. I can do. Oh no, you cannot do anything if not for Christ's strength. I'll tell you the truth. Didn't you love when Jesus taught that way? I tell you the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you. I tell you the truth. And so I would say the same thing today, tongue in cheek, that I cannot do anything except that Christ strengthened me. It's a whole different meaning of the interpretation of that verse. So when we look at the lens of Jesus Christ, as we look at him to interpret Scripture in Acts 26, 22 to 23. So if you want to get there real quick, that's great. Acts 26, 22 to 23. Acts 6, 22. To this day, Paul, this is Paul, of course, the apostle. I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people, the Jewish people, to the Gentiles. You're grafted. You're both Gentile and Jewish now. We're grafted in. How many of you remember the Hubble telescope in the beginning? How crystal clear were the pictures in the beginning? Jim, my engineer back there, Jim Bailey's going, you know that it cost $2.5 billion, right? It was projected at $400 million. Now, you've never seen a government overrun, have you? You've never heard of that happening. The issue was something called, okay, so it gets up there, after $2.5 billion. It's a little different than 400 million. It gets above 100 million and I'd get lost anyway, right? So 2.5 billion, I think that's just what the congressmen spend on fuel now. I'm not sure. But what happened here, they got this Hubble telescope, which is amazing. An incredible feat of God's science. Because this was a long time ago in the early 90s. God's science. Interpret your world in Scripture in the light of Scripture as well. Footnote. God's science was perfect, but the human interaction of creating or interpreting his science was flawed. They polished the mirror too much. And that sounds fun. It was a spherical aberration. Now you can just take that to the bank and look that up later. But it was a spherical aberration, you're familiar with. But obviously, it's pretty simple, a spherical aberration. They polished the mirror before installation. The edges were polished a little slightly too flat. And so these images came back imperfect. If we begin at any moment of our life to interpret Scripture without interpreting it through the lens of Christ, it gets fuzzy. You begin to take out scriptures and from Proverbs, and you read a few Proverbs out of context, because they're kind of strung together, and it seems like they're individual when they're really not. They point to Christ, every single one. Genesis points to the revelation of the Messiah. Revelation confirms it. Whenever we begin to interpret Scripture without the light of Christ, without the lens of Jesus Christ himself, it gets really fuzzy. The picture of life, the picture of our world gets imperfect. Oh, it sounds good. I'll never leave you or forsake you. But unless you interpret that Scripture in the light of Christ, you miss the fact he also said in this world you'll have trouble. I've prepared a place for you. And the real miracle of that I will never leave you or forsake you is that while you go through the trouble, while on this earth you will suffer, I have you in my heart. My name is on your forehead. You are mine, Gilead friends. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you because I'm your Savior and your Messiah. And my presence is with you. You know, I was thinking of, you know, the Bartons this morning. They have all the science that God gives and the incredible hospice nurses whom we know by name and who Frank and Rita know as friends. But that piece of that cannot compare to the peace that God gives. And in that moment when he says to one of our family members, beautiful in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. The words, I will never leave you or forsake you, come clear as you interpret that through the lens of Christ. Amen. So the space shuttle's got to send a bunch of people up and fix it. And they fixed that aberration. And now, for years and years and years, decades now, we've seen beautiful pictures from the Hubble telescope. It had to go up several times, by the way. Several times to fix it. So I don't know if the 2.5 billion ended up 16 billion or not, but it was a lot. We thank the Lord for his revelation of himself. If I could say one thing about interpreting Scripture through Christ, is that he is your focal point. You know, if you look through a prism, if you look through any glass, any lens, you know, these eye things have cameras and so do your Androids, but when I look out an airplane window or look out over an ocean, what my eye sees is thousands of times better than what my cameras can see. I can't get an image that compares to what I see. Sometimes I'll take a picture of something that's beautiful and try to send it to Patty, and then I look at the picture I just took, and it's not even worth sending. Because it doesn't compare to the focal point of the lens that God created in your own eye. The gospel of Jesus Christ, his word, cannot be separated from the focal point of Jesus Christ himself. Always read while you read in light of Jesus Christ. That's a summary of a whole bunch more that could be said. You know why I'm so excited about that point at Gilead Friends? We have made such strides, and that's just the way it is. If we're ever being conformed and transformed into Christ's likeness, if we are continually being sanctified by his grace, we should be growing, amen? Wayne, is the EFCER growing more into the likeness and the conforming power of Jesus Christ? You'd say, that's the whole idea. That's why we're there. It's why we're in it. So what I'm so overjoyed about at Gilead is that every focal point of ministry is through the lens of Jesus Christ and the simple gospel of his character. You know, if it's worship, if it's the children's program, by the way, if any of you have children, don't you love that at 11 o'clock, before you actually leave, there's a summary of the children's message on your phone and your computer? Instantaneously, Rachel's really good at technology. So she has it timed that while we're in here, you parents of children, or grandparents even, when you get to your car, you call up your iPhone to check your emails, and there it is. The summary of the children's message and the point thereof. Before you get out of the parking lot, everything that we do as a family at Gilead is through that lens. And I don't have time to give you a whole bunch of examples, just know everything. The adult Bible, I mean, the Sunday school program, what we would normally call it, those classes are powerful. New classes starting all through the lens of Christ. Kitty's bus, we used to call it Kitty's bus. She wants us to start calling it Sunshine Bus. It's going to be a rolling VBS bus. It's time. Our culture's different. You know, we're so slow in the church to change. You know, the young guy said, we need to change the order of the service. And all of us old people went, oh. You know, we think there's no order. We think we're spontaneously, you know, fluid. But if we change something, it messes with us. So some of the younger folks that Kitty's extremely, extremely young. I think you're turning 29 this year, Catherine. Yes. And had the idea that let's let God do more than one thing with that incredible tool of going into our neighborhoods, some of the least of these, as Jesus would say, and have this bus become a outreach ministry, which it already was, but with the purpose of also making it Bible school, a new thing. Behold, Charles Robinson gave us, it used to be hanging up there. Is it still hanging up there? Different scriptures up there now. See, behold, I am doing a new thing. Isaiah 40, right? 43? 40 or 43? Somebody look that up. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? See, the struggle with our lenses, if we don't look at everything through Christ's light, is that we might miss it. It springs up. He's not holding back. He's not trying to cover anything. His word is crystal clear. It's revealed to us in power and completeness. Do you not perceive it? Isaiah said. So we thank the Lord for that. The last thing I'm so excited about God's word as we read it through the lens of community. Sometimes we don't think that through, do we? Church, you're planted here. This is us. We are they. And our community is where we live, sometimes with challenges. This is our town. Praise God. I've said all my life, if there could be a microcosm of Philippi, it could be Gilead. It could be Morrow County. With all the depth of solid Christian leaders, I know God is willing. Are we as a church family willing to be transformed to such a degree that our community is interpreted in the lens, or we allow the Bible to be also interpreted by the lens of community? Let me use a quick scripture in Colossians 3, 16 to 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Don't you love Paul's? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs of thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God our Father through him. You know, richly means abundant. That means an overabundant filling of his word in light of our community. And so, again, as I kind of hustle up here a little bit, what that means is, when we read it in context of community, his word is for us before it's for me. Hold on, don't, you know, every one of you evangelists are saying, but you first have to accept. Trust. But his word was designed. He gave us his word that we would speak it, that we would, while we were reading it, we'd be doing so in community. I'll never forget, Rick, I'm picking on you today. Sorry, brother. We were out at a camp picnic, a church picnic. And he said, why do we not sit around the campfire and just talk about the scriptures? That's what God intended. Well, not necessarily campfire. Doesn't matter, living room, Sunday school class. Guys should be getting together and just in community, just discussing the scriptures. Maybe even a little arguing. Ladies, you're better at that than us guys are. Our women should be, I don't mean the arguing part. I'm in real trouble now, aren't I? That's funny. At least you're listening. I like that. They're better about community. They're better about caring. Again, the nature and the character and the image of God, as he reveals it, male and female, our ladies are just naturally more nurturing. So they're able to do that more often. Some of the ladies call Patty on a regular basis. Let's go walk and talk. You remember what Jesus did when he was raised? It was called the road to Emmaus. And he walked with them. And he talked with them. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? What song is that from? In the garden. And he tells me I am his own. He began to talk about the scriptures in light of the scriptures. He began to teach those two disciples on the road to Emmaus in light of the Old Testament scriptures. And then all of a sudden, as he did that, they knew who he was. As the word came clear and through the focal point of the Messiah. In community. The third point, in community. He visited the disciples, amen? In community? Taught them again, whether by the shore with breakfast or in the upper room or with Thomas individually in community. He revealed the word and himself more and more. Church, you know why I'm so excited about Gilead as a church family? We understand it and we're getting better. We're getting better every day at it. We are. We really, really are. I just want to challenge you with that thought. And here's why. We do so through the lens of community. The word warns. I'll give you some W words here. The word warns in all wisdom of the walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:27. Did you catch that? Under point three, in light of community, interpreting the word. While you're reading, the word warns. Don't you love to listen to your brothers and sisters in Christ? And if there's a concern, sometimes God will give you a scripture of warning. I mean, protection. Sometimes it's conviction, but most of the time it's protection, right? That word of warning that is in all wisdom because it's God's allows us, motivates us, transforms us of a walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that no matter what comes our way, no matter what comes to us, whether face to face or behind your back. Now, as a guy, I have no problem with somebody confronting me face to face. No problem at all. Bring it on. But when it's behind my back, it's harder. It's harder. So we need the protection of community. You know, when we had the guys last Sunday on Mother's Day stand behind our ladies, and we had 120 roses that represented the character of Christ in our moms. And I got overwhelmed about the spiritual image of protection that not just the presence of God, although that's all we need, but then he dispatches angelic forces. I'm not getting into an angel thing today. I just want you to know that the protection of God's provision is powerful. When I saw that, you guys didn't get to see it from up here. I couldn't talk. I had to have Patty come up beside me so that I could get through it. I am so powerfully moved by what God's doing at Gilead because of community. Patty and I have something we want to share with you in that light. So Patty's going to come up with me. And then the elders will come up soon too. Don't get worried. We've got good news for you. Isn't that funny how human nature is? See, I know what you're thinking before you even think it. We are retiring to Florida. I'll let that sink in. in the coming months. We'll be retiring to Florida. It's been in the plan for, you know, our whole life. Of course, we always thought it'd never happen. But in recent months, God made a way to do that. And so that's what our plan of calling of God upon us is going to be in the coming months ahead. I said that like that at council meeting the other night, and a couple people just burst out laughing and said, it's easy to be called to Florida. So what I really mean by saying that is we feel strongly that God has completed our mission here, although because I've been here 54 years, it's never going to be completed. This is me, you are me, I am you. There's no way to separate our hearts. There's no way to separate from you ever, ever, ever. But we do believe firmly that God has brought us to a point that it's time for Gilead to move on with different leadership. In my mind, it's somebody much younger, but that's God's deal. And so we have leaders everywhere. I've just been overwhelmed in just the recent months of the leaders God's brought to us. I'm overwhelmed by it because the timing was not known to me. The timing that God was moving us on and preparing Gilead for this moment was unknown to me in detail, just like always. Okay, I don't want to belabor the point too much. We're here for many, many weeks for you to ask questions. But the bottom line is this. What helps us, by the way, you know we're multi-billionaires, right? Okay, so you really know the truth that, you know, if we can eat lunch today, it'll be good. So in order for us to do something like that, there had to be some additional, you know, means. And what happened was Jonathan wanted to begin his own business, and we were able to help him purchase a business in Florida, my son Jonathan. And so he says he's going to allow me to have lunch money. And, you know, tongue in cheek, we're helping him do that, and we're transitioning to the Garden of Eden in Sarasota, Florida. And I tell you what, I'm like Todd, I'm a snow guy. I love snow, except in January and February, I'm done. I am so excited for you. We are so excited. Mm-hmm. And Jay is on the fence, I think. We don't know how many of our family members will end up there, you know, at least on vacation, we think they probably will. But we have the love of Christ overflowing abundantly. I can't even contain it for you. It was so hard to tell elders and so hard to tell our Sunday school class, the young guys. It's just so hard because I don't want to leave. And yet I know it's right. I know it's right. And God gave me a scripture. Elders, you probably want to hustle up here so I don't keep talking, right? God gave me a scripture for you. Our worship is solid. Rachel and Dan and the whole cast of worshipers. It's solid. What I did today was very unusual. You know, that doesn't need to happen much, ever. God's education program is just, he's totally revolutionized Gilead in that area of biblical, solid gospel teaching. Our children's program, with the help of the Snow family and now the younger generation in their places like God designed it to be, has just taken what the Snows did 4 years ago, and they're still involved, and just magnified it into a powerful children's ministry. Gilead Christian School is more solid today than it has ever been. And 3 years ago, we didn't know. We didn't know. I felt the call of God on me because I resigned. I went to Wayne and said, I am not going to lead in a church ever again. That was about 5 years ago. John Williams said, well, what will you do? I said, it doesn't matter. I'm not doing that. And we were there together, and about 8 months later, Gilead said, through Jesus' voice, "Oh, yes, you will." And so we have. Here's your scripture from Deuteronomy. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. We got a lot of country. The fruit of your womb, your children and your children's children will be blessed in your land and your crops. You know, I just was thanking God. I said, for Phil, I said, God, let it rain, but not too much. Your crops, there's no better farmland, in our opinion, on the face of the earth, because God has blessed his people. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that your enemies who may rise up against you, I say may, it probably says who, will be defeated right before your eyes. Of course, that's always the enemy. The Lord will send a blessing. Here's the blessing. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's given you. Amen? The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's given you. Harvey? Turn this thing on. I think it's an iMic.
Okay. Is it on?
Yes.
Really? I can't hear it. Okay. Well, are you shocked? Surprised? We've elders have known about this for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks now. And we were all surprised because we voted, if you remember, those who were members at our congregational meeting to give them a 3-year contract. And we thought that's where we were headed. And we as elders were all going to resign before that 3-year contract was up because we didn't want to have to do a search for another pastor. Well, boy, were we surprised with that one. But we also were unanimous in affirming what Brian has shared with you this morning, because as he told us the story about how things unfolded, and you can talk to him personally about additional information if you want that, we could see that God was directing this. It wasn't Brian's plan. It wasn't Patty's plan. It wasn't our plan. And so we want to affirm Brian and Patty in this decision, but we also see this as a huge task for us as elders, because it falls our responsibility to do this search, find a new pastor, and Dr. Evans is going to help us through that, and Brian is going to help us through that. It's not going to be a quick change, or, you know, this is just tomorrow he's gone and we're stuck with nobody or whatever.
Unless the weather changes.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I want to mention here is that you noticed that Brian led worship this morning, and I assume that's because John is already running a business in Florida. Is this correct? Yeah. See, so he's already down there doing that. I said we saw this as a huge task. The very next day, the daily bread devotion was facing the impossible, and Joshua was facing the impossible at the Battle of Jericho, and that was the scripture. But when we are faced with a huge or impossible situation, we choose worry rather than trust. That's what, I mean, that night after we had learned this, I think we all had a sleepless night. And then I read this, remember, nothing is impossible for the Lord. What a reassurance. That just affirmed to me God is directing this. This was not just a happenstance. God has a plan for Gilead Friends Church. He knows who the right man is to be our pastor. We have to trust him to reveal it to us and pray for wisdom. And that's what we're asking that the congregation do, is pray for the elders and Dr. Evans as we go through this process of seeking a new pastor. Another couple days later, another devotion that came to my mind was in Exodus 4, 10 through 20. Wherever God sends us, he comes alongside us. Hmm. So here we are. We're stuck with this because we didn't turn our resignations in. So we're trusting that God's going to guide us through this. And with you praying for us, we're all going to go through this. We want to affirm Patty and Brian. They're our pastors. He's my cousin. That's just what we're stuck with. It's the cousin thing. But we want to affirm them in the leadership that they have brought us through this far, and in their decision as they seek to move on. We want to pray for them and bless them in their future. And I'm going to have you come down here. The elders to come over and stand behind them and lay your hands on them as we seek to do this. I'm going to ask that the rest of you come up and lay your hands on the elders behind Patty and Brian. And we're privileged to have our EFCER superintendent, Dr. Evans, and he's going to come and lead us in a prayer of blessing, affirmation, and for wisdom for us as we go through this process. And, you know, as we do this, keep this in your prayer life as we move forward in this transition. We don't know how soon this is going to take place, but sometime. I wanted the rest of Brian's family come up here with Brian and Patty. Ralph, Edna. Where's Edna? Oh, she's still sitting. Okay, that's fine. Okay, Dr. Evans, lead us in prayer.
As we get ready to pray, we've been friends for a lot of years now.
Amen.
Earlier this year, I was asking Brian to be thinking about becoming the presiding clerk of the Evangelical Friends Church Eastern Region. And he took that seriously, but he said, that's not really what I'm sensing from the Lord these days. And it began a conversation that led to this time. I was shocked when you accepted a few years ago, because this was not something you sought. And yet, as we were being nudged that way, you had some nudging that way, and together in the Lord, we just felt like this is right. Brian and Patty, I want you to know, the last 5 years would not have gone as well, would not have had the blessing, had it not been for your faithfulness in that. We are grateful to the Lord for that. Outside of that, the biggest shock to me, I thought your backside was super glued to Morrow County. I didn't think we would ever get you to Canton or get you to wherever. And some sort of Gulfside Friends Church in Sarasota has got to be in the mix there somewhere. But Gulfside sounds good, yeah. But I want to just ask the Lord for his help and his continued blessing. So let's pray. Our kind and precious Heavenly Father, you have led. You've led because you love us. You gave yourself for us. You have planned for us. you have been sovereign. You have led. And in leading, the blessing of these last few years is something that we will all always remember and treasure. To have Pastor Brian share simple Christianity, just like in today's message. How do you study God's Word? Simple Christianity, nothing fancy, nothing that goes out in left field someplace, but faithfully, week by week, just teaching what's it mean to be a Christian. And he's modeled it. And Patty has modeled it. And they've done that together. They're hometown people. We know them pretty thoroughly. And we see you in them. And in this transition, as he returns to the business world, we pray that you would bless him. Pray that you will enrich their work and the meaningfulness of it. Whatever preparation for retirement this can offer that maybe we couldn't. What it means to work with family. Those kind of things we understand and they matter to us. So we pray that you would bless them in all these ways, meet their needs. And then, Lord, we pray that you'd meet our needs too. For leadership, for that peace that passes understanding, for unity and sense of purpose, for direction and selection, that you would bring the new pastor, whoever that is. We pray that you would be preparing his heart even now. And we pray that you would help that the kind of things you've been starting in these last years, starting to bring about, will be brought to full fruition. That what you have begun, you will complete for each one. Already this morning, you took someone home. You've completed that task with them. Until you have that for each one of us, we give ourselves to you. And we say, Lord, use us as only you can see fit. We know what our ways would take us to do, but we are hungry for your ways to be accomplished above all else. So we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for the expressions of love that will come at the amen of this prayer. We thank you for all that that means. Our hearts are touched. And Lord, you have led. We praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. And amen.
One thing I want to say, it was an old, when I was in youth group years ago, and Ralph, you probably remember this too. Remember what we always closed with? May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. God bless.